Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Thank you for all of you who have been subscribing this week. Especially, we've had quite a few folks sign up from who are listening to the radio and listen to the show on the radio, and I appreciate that very much. And also, thank you for the nice comments that you guys have sent me about the article that we had in this week's letter. It's all about balance, and so thank you for that. And let me introduce you to our guest this half hour. Beverly Inmanibel is our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's one of the folks who helps us put our best foot forward in the marketplace. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. She's also a contributing author to a book called Real World Communication Strategies That Work. And she's our good friend, Beverly Inmanibel. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone.
Absolutely. Beverly, one of the things you want to talk about today is change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes when you say that word to a lot of people, they cringe, don't they?
Well, I think in today's economic time, sometimes when we think of change, we think of the coins in our pocket. That's sometimes what it feels like. That's all we have. But we're talking about the type of change where you have to behave differently because of life and circumstances.
Mm-hmm. All
right. And that, you know, that can be tough because we are creatures of habit. I was in Atlanta yesterday at a client's, and they have a parking garage of multiple floors. And when I went to the elevator, I just stood there because I didn't know which button to push. And this man says, are you going up or down? And I said...
You said, that's the seminal question, isn't it?
Yes. And I finally said, oh, I forgot where I parked. And I pushed the button, and he says, that's why I always park in the same place. And I kind of looked at him, and I thought, well, this is appropriate for what I'll be talking about tomorrow with Jim. That some people are such creatures of habit that they simplify their life because they quit making decisions. They quit thinking outside the box because they always do something the same way.
And he never gets to see all the other parking floors, does he?
That's correct.
He doesn't get the excitement and the pleasure and the adventure of seeing all the other parking floors.
And my response to him was, I laughed and I said, well, I probably would, but sometimes people get it before I do. I'm very particular about where I park. I want one of the in spots, but a little bit wider so somebody doesn't ding my door. So, you know, I thought, well, here, I'm not immune to it either, because if my favorite spot, I have like 8 spots that I search for.
mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons it's tough. But when we think about our businesses, when we really get comfortable with our client list, with our products that we're creating, with our sales force, anything about our business that we really get comfortable with, there's a danger that we're going to miss a future opportunity because we're not willing to change. And we may not even realize we're not willing to change.
One of the things that you probably heard of a guy named Joel Barker who wrote about paradigms.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who introduced me to paradigms. And
mm-hmm.
And what he talks about, the essence of what he talks about, he calls it the business of paradigms, but I call it the danger of paradigms, because a paradigm is you know, as you know, it's this filter that we put up in front of us, and even if what we have as our paradigm about whatever it might be, it could be how we work, it could be where we live, it could be a lot of different things. But what happens is that we ultimately figure out a way to be successful inside, behind, hidden, you know, behind, so to speak, that paradigm. Even if it's an unfortunate paradigm.
And, you know, sometimes when problems occur, from that because we get in the mode of thinking, okay, I've got to do something. I've got to do something different than I've been doing. That we come up with in our businesses just a dynamic idea that actually, you know, soars us forward into a new mode of operation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I am under the belief that many times it's a failure or a problem that is the mother of a solution or a new way of doing something, of getting out of the paradigm that you've been in and creating a new one.
Like the adversity is the mother of invention, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Sort of like that?
I am. That's what I'm saying. Somebody said it before me. I was saying it before.
Hey, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We've got more to come on Change with our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel, the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Should have told you by now, but I can't find the words. Oh, no. If I could show you somehow.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Barbara Pagano is going to be with us. We're going to talk about something she calls the transparency edge and how to install that in your management system. And I'm looking forward to getting her on. She's a new friend. And then after Barbara, we got another old friend who will be with us, and that's Ivan Meisner. And we're going to talk about networking diversity. Looking forward to getting Ivan back on the show. Let's get back to our good friend Beverly Inman Ebel. And we're talking about change. And Beverly, Steve Martin's a friend of mine and member of our Brain Trust. And years ago, he and I conducted a couple of interviews on some research that he found that identified that two out of three people resist change virtually with every fiber of their being. Do you think that that's still true out there?
I do. And the numbers that I would use might be even less than that. And I think about 18% of the population in the United States embraces change.
Wow. So you're talking one out of five instead of one
right,
out of three. Wow.
Right. And I'm basing that on people's behavioral styles. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the people are in varying degrees of, you know, digging their feet into the sand saying, As a matter of fact, so many people, when they think they handle change, when they recognize change is coming, they immediately start looking for ways to regain what they had before as close as possible to the way they had it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not embracing change.
No, and let me throw something out here, Beverly. Okay, so on the one hand, we've got one out of five people, according to you, embrace change. The other four out of five totally not, or to some degree not. But then we live in a century where change is the rule. It's not the exception. When we actually create a change, we used to be able to expect it to last for a while, not have to do that again. But now we know we're going to have to do it again real soon. We're going to have to change again in a few months, maybe, or less.
So
on the one hand, we've got lots of change. On the other hand, we've got people who don't want to change. Here's my question, Beverly. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, it's like the Rip Van Winkle syndrome is what I kind of call it. Isn't that the story of the man
mm-hmm.
who fell asleep for 100
yeah.
years and woke
yeah.
up? And well, today, the Rip Van Winkle effect is you fall asleep for a couple months, and all of a sudden, things are radically different. The way we give information to people, there are still a huge number of small businesses out there, and I don't know what that number is, who really aren't familiar with purchasing and selling on the web.
Mm-hmm.
They're losing out.
Well, they're dinosaurs waiting to become extinct.
Yes, they are.
If they don't fix that,
right,
the dinosaurs
and the irony
waiting
of,
to become extinct.
The irony of that one is that's a great equalizer.
Yeah.
I mean, small business, big business, if once you present yourself on the web, it's an equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
So there are many ways in which, because we are still resisting change and and we're having to adapt to it more quickly, more readily. And I think this brings in an age gap also. I think younger people, because they have experienced so much change in the last 20 years, that they take it for granted. It's like, oh, well, yeah, we're going to do it different here.
Well,
it'll be interesting to see these folks get older.
And our generation, my generation, I should say, Beverly, because you're so much younger than me, but my generation, the baby boomers, some of us are embracing change and some of us are not so much. And so it's interesting to see, you know, a 55-year-old who's embraced the new economy, the new marketplace of the 21st century, and then to see his brother or his sister or whatever, you know, who just literally cannot do it. And it's a very interesting thing going on in the baby boomer generation.
Yes, it is. And the baby boomers have never really had to adjust because society has adjusted everything to meet their needs.
Are you saying we're spoiled?
Oh, yes.
Baby boomers
are spoiled?
Look at
the commercials now. The commercials are now all, you know, they're talking about how, well, the kids are gone, it's just us, so there's,
yeah,
you know, so we're going to eat Campbell's soup now. Yeah, I look at them and I think my entire life, companies have catered to me. And you start to feel like, well, aren't I important? I don't
privileged.
Need to change.
Yeah.
You're privileged. Yeah. Because there's, what, 55 million of us, something
80,
like that?
80 million.
80 million of
yeah.
us? Well, I'm on the tail end, Steve.
Yeah, you're way back there. Beverly, what you talk about different categories of change. Introduce that a little bit before we get to the come up on the break, and let's get started with that.
Well, change can be regarded as negative or positive. And obviously, positive change is more accepted, although it still brings a lot of stress with it. Mm-hmm. Think of your wedding.
Because we have to adjust.
Yeah.
We have to adjust to that.
That's right.
Whether it's good change or bad change.
Yeah, it's still stressful, but we'd rather have positive than negative change. And then there's whether or not we have control. If the change is within our control, it's probably going to be more stressful for the other people if I have control over it. If, mm-hmm. as a business owner, I make the decision, then I think I'm prepared. But the change that comes that we don't have control over and we consider it to be negative, that's a tough category.
Those are the career-ending, business-ending, relationship-ending changes, aren't they?
They can be if they are ignored or handled incorrectly.
Or denied, or exactly, or mishandled.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. Beth, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 10 till. Our good friend Beverly N. Medieval is our guest. She's the author of Talk Is Not Cheap. She's also a contributing author to the new book, Real World Communication Strategies That Work. And her name is Beverly Inman Ebel. And when we come back, we'll get her to give us her website because I want you to know more about what she does. And you might even want to take advantage of some of the things that she offers. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Beverly Inman Ebel is our guest. Beverly, give us your website, please.
It's www.talklisten.com.
All right. What do we find when we get there?
Well, you'll find a lot of things. You'll find a lot about my company, TLC, Talk, Listen, Communicate. There's also a spot that has newsletters, and you can click on that and review the archive of the newsletters. We have newsletters that come out once a month. Always on a different topic. And guess what the topic for January is?
I can't imagine.
Change.
Ah. Well, you know, I'm glad you... And don't forget, folks, talklisten.com, right, Beth?
Yes.
And that's is that a free newsletter?
It is. Yes, it is.
So check that out. It's once a month. And, folks, I'm a subscriber. I thought it was free, but I always get mine free. So Beverly always is so nice to me, so I get mine free anyway, But I wanted to make sure that I understood that. So check that out, and it is one of those websites and one of those publications, electronic publications that's worth your time and your money. Beverly, this thing about change. It's important that we talk about this now because in the old days we could make a change. We could see something need to happen. Let's say that we were in the furniture business. And we decided that, you know what, we better get in the appliance business. You know, I'm thinking 30 years ago. You know what? We have people who come here and they want to buy a sofa and a television.
Right.
Or while they're buying a bedroom suit, they need a refrigerator. So we better get into the appliance and the television, the electronics business. And so they did that, and they worked on it, and they found vendors, and they installed. You know, they got all this done. They got the floor plan fixed and everything. And they reared back, and they said, "Wow, boy, this is good. I'll be fit for. You know, this will take me through my retirement." Well, now, when you make a change like that, the moment you get through with that change, you better be thinking about the next one, because things are moving that quick, aren't they?
Yes, they are, and we've got to adjust to it. If we do not, we're going to be left behind. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's it's a scary thing, because all these changes that we're referring to are things outside of our control, and a lot of small business owners, you know, they're spending all their time doing everything that small business owners such as myself do and you do. And so we think, where do I have the time to learn about all these changes that are going about and how to take advantage of them and how to, you know, move forward with them? So it can be very daunting, and so often we put off. Now, with your furniture dealer, when he put off, well, you know, he probably put off enough. Let's say he put off a year.
He could have waited a year or two to do that. Yeah,
he could still get appliances.
30 years ago.
Yeah, but today, if you put off, someone else is not going to put off, and they're going to be getting all the customers.
Here's a paragraph, Beverly, from an article that I wrote about change recently that I wanted to read. It's now clear that the organizations, both public and private, that will enjoy consistent success are the ones that can make change an abiding element in their business model rather than an upsetting intrusion to the way we've always done things. And they'll do this by creating an organizational culture and environment where change can occur whenever and as often as necessary without creating a casualty list. That's all about management's attitude about change. And you know, Beverly, I think that the magic words in there for some people are both public and private. It doesn't matter whether you're a private company or you work for the government. All organizations are going to have to do this, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And a personal example is, in the past, a huge part of TLC's business was to go in and work with managers, one-on-one coaching, helping them to be, you know, more effective managers with their communication. Well, all of a sudden, in this economic time, that was dwindling. And so we had to rethink how we were going to do this, because managers were saying, well, like, you know, they'd set an appointment, but then they'd have to cancel at the last minute. So now we go in, we're just on premise. We walk around the halls, and whoever has time will stop in and do a little bit of coaching. It may be for 15 minutes, it may be for an hour, and we'll go someplace else. And it works beautifully. The companies love it. That's change. And it was really tough for us, and it took us more time than I think it would have been good for us to adjust to that type of change, but that's what we've got to do.
Beverly, we've got to wrap it up, but there's more to talk about on this. Next time you come back, and I'd like to do this next month, if you will, would you come? Can we continue to talk about change next time?
I think we can.
Let's do that, because I think we have a lot more to talk about, and maybe we'll get into this in a little more detail. Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Beverly Inmaniba, ladies and gentlemen. TalkListen.com is the website, and Talk Is Not Cheap is her book. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.